Bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The script say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power, it's the one.
Power, power,
it's the who.
Power, power,
yeah, yeah.
Blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power,
it's the one.
Power, power,
it's the who.
Power, power,
yeah, yeah,
Blacks, Hispanics, and Hispanics.
Power, power,
it's the one.
Power, power,
it's the who.
Power, power,
yeah, yeah,
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power,
it's the one.
Power, power,
it's the who.
Power, power,
yeah,
yeah,
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
No, it's just a hate group thing. Hey, hello, hello. Welcome to Power Hour, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I'm Captain Joshua.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Captain Aparium.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Most High in Christ. Bless, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, family, Officer Gamaliel.
Yes, formerly of IUIC of Phoenix.
Formerly.
Formerly.
By way of now.
That's the officer formerly known as.
No, I'm not formerly known as.
Oh, okay.
Now known as the Juicer. The Juicer.
Picking up and track the trailers.
So we had the new song there. We had the new song. All praises.
The power. So power, it's
kind of, our producers are terrible. He's yeah. Like after clowning, he's like, hey, they could see you.
Set up.
I know these guys, man. I don't know.
He said these guys, man.
And then he has this guy Friday over there. I don't
guy
know
Friday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go get some coffee.
Go get some coffee.
Get some coffee and some breakfast.
Man, go take my car to wash.
Yeah, I know that's what a guy Friday does. Eh?
Just run errands. We want tuna sandwiches today.
He's,
right?
he's the what they call it, the grip.
The grip.
You good?
Grip,
you good?
Yeah.
You got some sleep?
He's the key grip.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'm pleased to announce that I got 40 hours of sleep this week.
Hey, all praises, man. You're doing a good job.
40 hours of sleep.
I did.
Where's the claps at?
I did.
You need the clock noise for that.
For great. For great.
For red?
I'm happy to say I get 40 hours every week.
Yeah.
I was in bed every night by 10, and I was up every day at 6.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you did a 40-hour work week on your sleep, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, so you're doing your time management in 8 hours.
I took heed.
In 8 hours.
Bags are going away, slowly but surely, you know.
Mine. I was wondering. You had a sparkle in your eye. I thought it was
see that?
I thought it was allergies.
But you're not getting out much because you look lighter for some reason. I don't know.
Work, gym, home, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Well, they do say most men in most people in Arizona are vitamin D deficient.
Because we don't want to be in
the sun. You don't want to be in the sun. You don't want to be in that oven.
Okay. Anyway, so we're continuing on with our series on agents of socialization. This is what primarily Esau calls their methods to indoctrinate and set us up for the way they want to socialize us, right? So I'm going to read that momentarily. Let me just find that page there. And we're going to talk about that. They're doing it now, too, with this coronavirus stuff.
Yes, right. So, the agent of socialization.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much crap with that.
You know, they're hitting it. I want to read the intro part of agents of socialization again, in case anybody new is a tuning in. So agents of socialization. And so it says, as we've seen, the culture of the United States is defined by rather gradual movements from one stage of socialization to the next. All right. The family is the most important agent of socialization in the United States, especially for children. It says the continuing and lifelong socialization process involves many different social forces, right? They call them social forces. And these social forces influence our lives and they alter our self-images, right? So socialization is the process of getting you to behave the way they want you to behave, right? They socialize you. We speak about that in different terms sometimes because you come across brothers and sisters or even children sometimes and they don't have certain social skills, right, that are needed. Now, that's different. There's a common acceptance of what is socially acceptable behavior, social skill-wise, right? Children are expected to behave a certain way amongst each other as well as towards adults. And then when you see something outside of that, it's different. Same with people with each other, right? We're supposed to, you know, in the Bible, obviously tells us more detail how that should be. It should be shamefaced, right? Men should not be accustomed to opprobrious words, that sort of stuff. But this is going in a broader sense of how do they want the masses to behave? How do they want the general populations to behave? And they've put in place things called agents of socialization, all right? And these things act on behalf of the narrative that they want to put out, right? And it dictates your behavior. So we're about to step into an interesting one, and we'll see how the dialogue goes with that. It might be one episode, it might be two, it might be three or four if more stuff comes out, all right? Because we're going to move into mass media and technology, all right? So prior to this, we have not touched on the family, though they mark it as the most important one, right? And I get that. As I was reading it again this morning, I said, you know, this book's a little dated, right? So an update would have a little more of an impact. I think this is like 2012, maybe. An update would show how much more mass media and technology has exploded, I think, and become so much more influential on people's lives. But while family is the most important, I would almost say, right, and you might, it might come out different. That's why I'm saying I would almost say that mass media and social technology is probably the most influential one. While it may not be the most important, it's the permanence of it. We're in a place which is ever present.
Oh, absolutely. Right? It's everywhere.
And like I get my news through that and not the television anymore and not the newspaper, right? Like, you know, I'm subscribed to the news links that I like through there. And, you know, I mean, I'll see what's going on in my neighborhood, in the state, in the country and in the world based on the different news outlets with little snippets and stuff from social media.
Right.
Like, I don't even see like what, you know, they call them your friends online. I don't even see what friends are doing anymore. I see my, whatever I'm into is basically what shows up on my social media.
I see whatever I'm talking about with
basically,
my words.
Right.
And then it pops right up on my timeline.
My phone wasn't on and I was not on Facebook. It was actually, you know, 10 feet away from me. And what I spoke about 20 minutes ago, they're showing me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I said that I like the new Camaro, and a Camaro ad showed up.
Just so happened.
Yeah. Oh, and if you got Alexa in your house, you're being listened to. You would be. I mean, it's cool. It's like super convenient, the stuff you do with that. Like, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you got Alexa in your crib, she's a spy.
Right.
Alexa's a spy.
She's a traitor with the O.
Hey, I've thought about getting it because I'm like, man, that'd be dope. Like, you know, sometimes
I got it in my room.
But I was gonna do full integration, like, you know, because sometimes the kids want something or whatever. Like, hey, you know, can you change the channel? Alexa, change the channel.
Yeah, you're about to buy the informant.
So she can call me on Alexa.
Yeah.
So I'm in the other night. I'm doing stuff on a computer. She goes, babe. I said, what the. After all, then I remember quickly it was the Alexa.
He's not looking around.
Here, my lord.
No, it was her. It's another wrong vibe.
So, you know, so we went over the family we're going to save for last. And we've touched on it in different ways, but you know, we'll kind of bring it all together when we talk about family. So we went over school. Right, in the school system, and we started with that and showing you how many models of the Indian schools and what they were attempting to do there were kind of carried over into the modern school system for everybody at this point. Mm-hmm. And then we went over a couple of weeks talking about peer groups, right, and how the significance of the effect of parents and how important your views are as parents to your children. Once they get into those teen years, it's not as important anymore. What's more important to them is their friends' opinions and their friends' views and what they see in those social circles. The interesting one about, and that's why I say mass media and technology is probably the most influential, is that to me, you can receive all the other agents of socialization via that medium. So you can get an idea of what you might want a family to be,
mm-hmm.
right? You can get an idea of, I mean, you can get schooling and education through there. You can get religion through there. You can even work through the internet, right? Because the workplace is one of them as well, right? So it's going to impact yourself and how, and what I mean yourself, I'm talking about your identity. And that's really what this goes to, right? How do we behave in the society based on the expected behaviors? So they are constantly pushing that, right? Like if we went and, for example, this is why it's so important and it's different, there'll be different agents if we did this. So, you know, they were saying that how there's they're discovering like untouched indigenous peoples in parts of the Brazilian rainforest and stuff like that, right? Like they've seen some. And if we went to, let's say, live around them,
mm-hmm.
a lot of what we would do and what we would find as norms would not be normal, right? We would be received strangely, right? Just like we would see them strangely. But in order to assimilate into their society, we would have to learn their ways and their customs. Family would be a big one, mm-hmm. right? They would have a schooling system as well. They would be a peer group. They'd lack the mass media and technology, but it would probably show up in a different forum, right? Usually an elder is the one that gives you the news and the information for that. You'd have work. So there are some constants in it. But the point that I'm really trying to emphasize as we begin to dive into this is that mass media and technology to me is being the most influential one. And the Bible tells you that because it calls it a flood.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible calls it a flood to put out the doctrines of this world.
Yeah. You bombard it.
Right. Yeah. When you're flooded, right. It's like, you're overwhelmed by it, right. It's too much. It's more than you can handle. Right.
He could have used a stream. He could have used a river.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Flood.
Yeah. So, and you know, it says it's social forces, right? They call it a force. They call these things forces, right? So let's talk a little bit about the mass media and technology, right? And I'll just read the intro piece here. And it says, in the past 80 years, media innovations, radio, motion pictures, recorded music, television, and the internet have become important agents of socialization. Television and increasingly the internet, and I would say the internet has won at this point, are critical forces, critical, it says, in the socialization of children in the United States. And I would say globally now with the way mass media is set up.
Right.
And it says one national survey indicates that 68% of U.S. children have a television in their bedroom, and nearly 50% of all youths ages 8 to 18 use the internet every day. Right. So social media we're going to do as a separate class. Right. So there's another little excerpt here about online socializing, and they call it a new agent of socialization. So so doesn't mean we can't talk about it today, the Facebooks and the Twitters and Instagrams and stuff like that. But that may encompass its own show as we discuss it, right? So what I want to kind of discuss a little bit here is, like, for example, you got this, I said the coronavirus thing, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying it's not legitimate. I'm not saying, you know, that's all of the Most High. You know, he's going to put some stuff out there. They said the scripture tells you every plague, every sickness that's not written. Someone will be like, well, I don't see coronavirus in the Bible. Right. So it's every plague, every sickness that's not written, you know, that's also of the Lord. But this whole thing, like, so you have the media, like, trying to kind of prime you and prep you for it. They'll put it out. And I don't even want to get into the conspiracy theory aspects where people, oh, it's a man-made disease. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying how that's our source of information for kind of what's going on. And how they report it is either going to what? Create panic and people bugging the hell out,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it's going to have people maybe on the other extreme too complacent and unprepared for something like that. Or it gets them where they need to be as far as being aware of what's going on. So it plays its roles in socializing us and our children because of the emphasis that they decide to place on stuff.
Yep.
Right. So, like, for example, there's all types of issues still going on in Puerto Rico as a result of not just the hurricane, but then they got hit with those various earthquakes and everything. Mm-hmm. And the media is like a bubble, right? So they're only going to report about it based on – it's a business at the end of the day. They got to make their money. They're not doing
it, right,
you know, for you know, charitable – yeah, the benefit of mankind or whatever. That may be what drives them. You know, some of the individuals that work in media might be like, yeah, I'm motivated by making sure that, you know, the truth comes out, right? Yeah, the truth matters. That's funny because if the truth really mattered, then we would get the airtime that we would need and we would deserve, but – that's another avenue, right?
Well, the thing is, we're also insignificant.
Right.
We're a commonwealth, right? They want the resources,
and
they don't want us.
And it goes back to that. So there's a lack of reporting on that because of other things in the news cycle that are more prevalent, and it's not important anymore. The only reason they ever reported it because it was buzzy, right? And
it
brought some stuff out.
When it like comes to people that have like these good intentions when they first start out, eventually, over time, with enough peer groups and pressure and everything else, they're all going to turn. All of them. Every single last one of them. When you read the scriptures, it tells you that if Christ wasn't taken away when he was, then he would have sinned. So if the Son of God, the first creation of the Most High, can be brought to that point of temptation, then us here in this world can be tainted and be swayed left or right.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, they have great intentions, but at the end of the day, they're always going to follow what the mass media puts out there.
Well, not only that, because you also have to consider they are trying to make a career for themselves. So they see more doors are open for you depending on what types of things that you report on. So even though you do have those good intentions, you got mouths you got to feed at the end of the day.
Well, that's what Kevin said. He said at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business at the end of the day. It's crazy.
Right. I didn't share my links. I'm going to share my links. So if you guys want to still touch on some of this, you can go right ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, at the end of the day, there's a lot. There's one guy on Facebook that actually reports. I mean, I don't know. His last name doesn't seem like he's Israel. But then again, you never know. But he's been constantly reporting. He constantly reports everything that goes on in Puerto Rico pretty much on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know you're talking about David something.
Begnard.
Yeah.
So he reports. He's actually very thorough too. He has like inside information on what's actually going in there. But again, at the end of the day, you know, it goes back to the being agents of social the media, and I know we're going to go into it. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all those main outlets, they're all agents of socialization.
Right.
They've spoken to news reporters off the record, and they even say that they're not allowed. They're screened on what they can say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what the news media has become, I mean, the new term fake news, right? But what they are become pretty much like a reality show. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I mean, you don't get good news. Journalism is like almost dead.
Right.
I mean, to be a journalist, you're not supposed to be afraid to ask certain questions. You see these interviews when they interview
Kid Gloves.
Yeah, Kid Gloves. Kid Gloves, man. You know, I remember growing up as a kid, man. The old school interviews, man, they were hardcore. You know, they would go in and ask some serious questions that really start conversations and that really make you start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you don't see that, you know, nowadays. You know.
Well, and then the power of celebrityism. So like, basically, they'll screen the person who's going to interview them and be like, okay, so you can't ask me about this. You can't. This is off limits. I'm only going to talk so much about this, and if you ask me anything outside of that, I'm walking. Like.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that with us, right?
Right.
I mean, right out the bat, they're like, you know, we'll interview you. You know, we want to, because they knock on our door, right?
Yeah.
It's not like we're knocking on their door. We want to interview you, but you can't open up or reference the Bible.
Yeah. So then you don't want to hear what we got to say.
So then all I'm doing is regurgitating what Christianity is if I can't use the Bible.
Right.
Right. That's all I'm doing with that. You know, Bible says prove all things, right? That's what the scripture says.
That's what it says.
You know, and the way you prove things is by showing facts, you know?
Right. So I want to bring this out. Let's go to Isaiah 59 and 19 first, because I just want to talk about the flood. And then we're going to touch Revelation, and then we'll talk a little more about this.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him.
Right, so the enemy is going to come in like a flood. The scripture prophesied that. Our warfare, according to what you read in the New Testament, tells us that it's spiritual, right? It's not a physical war. So it's not like we're going to be overwhelmed, taking up swords and shields and, you know, shield and buckler and all that stuff. So it's talking about this flood, right? So what is coming in like a flood in a spiritual aspect today? And yes, you know, Christianity, politics, we've gone over that. All of that is part of the larger narrative, but the way it's delivered is the flood. What's in that flood, what's in those flood waters, right? When you get the flood, right? So here in Arizona, we get flash floods, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when you get flash floods, right, there's debris, there's trees, there's rocks, there's all types of things in the floods, right?
Right.
And what's crazy about the flood, right, is that it's overwhelming. It comes so suddenly, you're not expecting it, and it overtakes you, right? This is why it's deemed a flood. Because this is the same effect that the mass media and the technology has, right? So remember the intro that we read, and then when we go back to the sociology piece, you'll see what I'm talking about. So let's jump to Revelation now, and I want to talk about the flood.
The book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
So it says the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. The serpent is talking about Esau, right? And all those nations that are confederate with them are there as well, right? It's
right.
That's the implication that's there. Esau is leading it. That great serpent is Edom, all right, which is known as the white man colloquially.
Colloquially. There it
right?
is.
Let's do common speech, right? People say Edom. No, because you got people pushing other narratives out there confused by that stuff now, right?
Love
and
them.
It says, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. The woman is dealing, right, according to Jeremiah 6 and 2, with Israel, right? Let's just get that real quick so we know what they're talking about, right? I don't want to make the assumption. I want to make this a Revelations thing, but we're just touching here because of the...
This is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 2. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman.
All right. So the daughter of Zion is referred to as a comely and delicate woman. So when we read in Revelations and it's talking about the woman, right, it's talking about Israel, right? Let's go back to that, right, Revelations. And you get Hebrews 13:9 ready, okay?
Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman.
So the serpent cast out water as a flood, okay? So this media, the television, the mass media, and technology, this is the flood, all right? And after the woman was after Israel, right? It's part of the crafty council. Come on.
That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
So he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So what does it mean to be carried away from what? Physically, right? No, let's read Hebrews 13 and 9.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines.
Right. So it means don't be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. And this is why you must understand that these mediums, that's their intent.
Mm-hmm.
When we read about the self during the past few weeks, it talks about these social forces that influence and change your behaviors to what they want. Right. So what the is specifically it's talking about the United States, because this book is dealing with the culture of what's known as America. Right?
Right.
The United States. But it has carryover with basically like what I mentioned earlier, the same agents of socialization apply globally. What's in them are modified slightly. Because remember, America is also referred to as the harlot that sits on many waters, right? And when we speak about the mark of the beast, it's what? They bring this way of thinking to these places.
Right.
And more, right, in situations of world powers, people that have any type of position at the literal table of the different alliances that they have, NATO, G8, whatever.
Right.
Well, now
right.
It's G7 because they've. Russia's on timeout, so right, and right, the European Union, all these other things, right? In order to do that, you have to subscribe to these ways, right? You have to bring these methods in and everything like that. I think they were saying, wasn't Bishop bringing it out, that part of the reason like America doesn't deal with some of the African countries because they want them to bring things like homosexuality, transgender, and the acceptance of those things there, right? A lot of the Middle Eastern countries, right, they're pressuring them because they say that the way they treat women and so on and so forth, and you know they should be able to have you know equality and this and that. And listen, we're all for equality as far as you know. I don't think you should have access to the same type of things, right?
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
I want to clarify that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But equality based on the way God wants it, and the way God wants it is it's God, Christ, man, women.
Bring
right?
it out.
Right? And then the children fall under that. So read this whole verse, Hebrews 13 and 9, so you understand when it says to carry it away, what it's talking about, right?
Yes. Be not carried away about – I'm sorry. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein.
Right. So that's going to talk a little bit about the sacrificial law and everything. But it's talking about the part that I went with says it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, that your mind be established with grace. Right. They're going to confuse you as because I think when do we go to religion? Well, there's workplace, then religion. So those are the two ones after this. Right. And what I said was religion is also delivered through mass media and technology. So you have to understand the powerful force that it is. Your mind has to be focused on the right understanding of that Christ only did away with the sacrificial law and not the whole law entirely. Right?
Right.
Because if you roll with that, that's an agenda that's being pushed through mass media, right, and technology and through and via religions, right? What'll happen is you'll fall for this confusion of the Judah 5 effect, where you won't be keeping God's commandments and then God's not going to stand for you.
Right.
Right.
Can I get grace real quick?
Go ahead.
Because Hebrews said that we need to live according to grace, right?
Right.
Or to have our heart established according to grace.
Right.
Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So having our minds established by grace, meaning that all the things that social media and the mass media pushes is everything that's against the Bible, because the world is given to the hands of the wicked.
Right.
So that grace teaches us to deny
right.
those things, to come out of it.
Right. That was I'm glad you said it. That's the point that I want to say. It says grace teaches you.
Right.
Grace teaches you to deny those things that come out of the flood, the mass media, the
right.
technology.
Right.
Grace will teach you those things.
Right. Deny ungodly things like we were just talking about. Right. That the belief is that, right, you could be evil right before Christ comes, or when he comes, he's going to cure. He's
right.
going to save you. But no, that's not what Paul was saying. And obviously, he had to bring this out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because that was an issue thousands of years ago too.
Right.
Right. So this is why he had to mention it.
And you have to consider the mind state of somebody who's thinking that way. If you're not learning to be less, if you're not learning to be godly, then are you really using grace? You haven't even started using grace if you haven't learned how to be godly at all.
Right. If you don't
right.
know that, how do you know what to apply? Right.
Yeah.
Like sin. If you don't know what sin is.
Right. Exactly.
Right. You know, how do you know you're sinning?
Yeah.
I didn't read it, and I have been the past few weeks, but I want to read about the self and how they describe the self, right? Meaning the red dragon, how they describe the self. So you can understand how it falls in everything that was just brought out with the different scriptures here, right? So it says, we all have various perceptions, feelings, and beliefs about who we are and what we are like. How do we come to develop them? Do they change as we age, right? And you come to develop them based on how you're socialized,
right? Absolutely.
And do they change as we age? Absolutely, because especially when you're dealing with non-biblical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Biblically, they don't change as you age
mm-hmm.
because they're constant.
Right.
That's another sign that you know, right? So grace doesn't teach you that. Grace will teach you that God's laws are eternal, right?
Right.
When you read in Romans 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, right?
Well, and plus Christ said them the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Right. Exactly. So the Bible gives you constant reminders of how we should be, right? And we're going to bring out that be not conformed to this world to understand that's part of that grace. This is what we read in Hebrews 13:9. He says that get that again real quick. I want the part where it talks about the grace.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines.
Come on.
For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace.
Your mind should be established with grace. And then when you read what was brought out about how grace teaches you, right? Grace teaches you these things to be godly and all that, right? it's telling you your mind is established with that so that this self doesn't change as you age.
Right.
So that these social forces don't have that force on you. Right.
Right.
You push back with a more dominant force in the Bible.
Right.
It says we were not born with these understandings. And this is true. The Bible says we are born in sin. Right. And he says, building on the work of George Herbert Mead, some Edomite, he's a sociologist, he recognizes that our concept of who we are, the self, emerges as we interact with others. You cannot discount that. Remember, that we were talking in one of the shows how that was the motivation of the Northern Kingdom, primarily, mm-hmm. when they left, when they got liberty. And they said, hey, let's go someplace where never mankind dwelt.
Mm-hmm.
There, maybe we can keep our laws, statutes, and
right.
commandments,
right? Right,
right? And we can get away from all this.
Right,
it wasn't.
They understood that there was agents of socialization,
yes,
right?
And the
yes.
East, right.
It just wasn't called that back then,
right?
Right,
right?
It wasn't
right,
called that back
right,
then.
Right.
So it says the self is a distinct identity that sets us apart from others. And the scripture calls us like a set apart people, right?
Right.
A peculiar people.
Yep.
So it goes to show you, in order to really set yourself apart from others, this is the irony in what they're saying here, because they're telling you that the self sets you apart, but then the way you're socialized, they're opening up your understanding to show you that the way you're socialized is to be like everybody else.
Right.
Right. Yep.
Right. So it says the self is a distinct identity that sets us apart from others. All right. What sets us apart from others is keeping God's law, statutes, and commandments. It's having our heart established with grace.
Right.
Allowing grace to teach us. Being a real partaker of grace.
Right.
I like that point,
mm-hmm.
right? By allowing it to teach you about godliness.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right. you know what's heavy, too, about it not changing ever? Because Psalms tells us that the law of God is perfect.
Right.
If it's perfect, it doesn't have to change.
Right.
What changes and what's always being reestablished is the rudiments that you read about in Colossians.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And yeah, and that's the tricky part about the mass media, the technology, right?
Right?
It's those rudiments in Colossians that come out.
Because they look at it like it's just evolving into a better thing, but really
yeah.
it's the rudiments that's still pulling you backwards.
Yes,
right.
That's exactly what it is. So it says the self is not a static phenomenon, but continues to develop and change throughout our lives. If you allow it to,
mm-hmm.
if you allow it to, as far as this. Now, in your spiritual walk, you will continue to develop. You will continue to change, but it shouldn't be that you change away from this.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's why Peter says grow in grace.
Right.
Right.
But
right.
grow in grace.
Yeah. You got to.
Hey,
I got to write that down as like a topic. We might need to explore the other sides of grace.
Right.
Because I know most of the time we keep it simple and say mercy and whatever.
It's been a while.
I might need to build a class around
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we got
grow,
new people. We got new people.
Yeah.
New people coming
yeah.
in. You know, their interpretation
stuff.
Of grace is still Christianity.
Right.
This is good stuff. This is good stuff. I'm gonna make a note of that. When you talk, I'm gonna put that in my topic list.
Yeah.
Great. But just going back to what the officer said, right? About grace, because we all think grace. That is this unlimited thing, but understanding that Peter made it very clear, you have to grow in grace. It's not just having the grace period,
right?
But it's growing within that and learning the things that grace is supposed to teach us,
right?
And the mass media, it gives us this thing, because technology is getting so advanced that we think it's just evolving into something better, but really it's pushing you further and further away from God.
Well, look at the so, because I come from the Christian church, right? So when I was growing up, there was things that were unheard of in the Christian church that they do freely today.
Absolutely.
And
yep.
that's because the ground that they set up the church on is not established. It's not established in the word of God. It's established on American philosophy. It's established on American principles. So
right.
whatever America changes to, they can never get their sure footing in the word of God, because they are believing in what America's pushing and not what is firm and established in the word of God.
Well, having that form of godliness, right?
Right.
First and foremost, if you don't know and understand that the Bible is only for one nation,
right,
it ain't gonna work.
Right.
All right. That this book was only written for the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the Israelites according to the Bible, based on geological, archaeological, okay, facts.
All the logicals, bro.
All the logicals, bro.
Bring them all out.
So it starts with that. You can't be part of this book according to what the scripture says.
Right.
Okay, if you're not that nation,
mm-hmm.
the nation of Israel.
Oh, I love that.
So it starts with that. And then the other thing is that if you don't know the root definitions of a word, you're not going to get the sense.
Right.
Right. Because people hear grace. Right. And they listen to the definition of what their pastors say.
Right.
Right. Or what their priests say, or what their leaders in their church says. But they never gone to Titus.
Right.
And Titus is that scripture is heavy because it breaks down it covers everything.
Yes.
Of what you should deny yourself of if you want grace.
Right. But Cap, even thinking just application wise, just practically, like, we know what grace is. We all needed it with that light bill or that rent.
It's a simple analogy. Sure.
If you've used grace practically, so understanding that in practical application, there is a cutoff on that thing. You should understand with the Most High God, who is a perfect and just God, that his grace also has a cutoff. Unless you believe that God is not just, then you'll believe
any type of education has limits, right? Like at some point, you're only going to be able to repeat a grade, but so more long before they're like, maybe you need to take your GED.
Yeah. Maybe you should fall back. You're taking up a seat.
You know, you got people in college and like they're still technically freshmen as far as not having taken requirements to graduate, but they'll have like 200 credits because they've just been taking electives like the whole time. You know?
Hey, so that does happen, because when I was in high school, there was this dude. That dude had a family.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Oh, my goodness, bro.
That dude had a wife and a kid and a car. He would roll up and park in front of the school. We were all like that, because back in the days, you didn't have. It wasn't. I don't know how these kids afford cars now. Back in the days, man, you walked there. You hoofed it everywhere, man. You know, back home, especially in New York, you took
the
train two and a half hours to Brooklyn.
You know, it was pretty special if you had a friend that had a car. That
right.
was like
oh man, you sat in the back, man, and heck, if they only had AM, just to show you how far back. Like my friend would take his father's car that only had AM. We had the big Rambo box, the big box with the two double cassette, and we put that on, and I'd be in the back jamming to that thing.
Now, we had a friend, he had a Corolla, like the Corollas.
The Corollas, the Punto
Ocho.
They
were cheap, yeah, the 1.8. Punto Ocho, the 1.8 Corollas. Yep.
Stick shift, too.
I remember I had my friend Eddie, that was my best friend in high school. And his mom used to let him, he wasn't a man. No. That dude at 14 had a full beard, and he was losing his hair.
And he was losing his head. Yeah, they used to send him to go buy, like, brew and stuff.
Yeah.
We don't need to call him.
We don't have a friend like that, right?
Bro, we used to call him Wolfman because the hair was ridiculous, bro. His hair was just crazy. But anyway, he used to get the van from his mom's on the weekend, and, like, it was a minivan, and we didn't give a crap that it was a minivan. Bro, and it was on. Like, oh, you got the van? And we'll just drive someplace, like, just for the hell of it. And it's like, I mean, sometimes we were real bad. I'm not going to talk about that on air. But sometimes it was like, hey, let's just drive to Denny's, because Denny's was in Connecticut. It wasn't in New York.
It was
because we could, right? Yeah, let's just drive there. You know what I mean?
Moons of Miami. Why not?
Going where no man has gone before.
let's go to IHOP, but not the one that's close. Let's drive to the one in Jersey. Right. We have a car. Right. Let's just do it, right? So that's how we go. But anyway, let's bring it back, right? So we're talking about the grace teaching and all of that and the mass media, right? So I want to read a little bit more about the mass media here, right? So it says, these media, however, are not always a negative socializing influence. And I would agree with that to the extent that we're using it to push forth God's true doctrine, right? The way things should be and how we should behave. So in that way, it's not negative, right? It says, but this is their rationale. Television programs and even commercials can introduce young people to unfamiliar lifestyles and cultures, right? That's not always a good thing. I mean, I think it is good from a perspective for maybe understanding the backgrounds that other people come from. And I'm talking relative to the truth, right? Like in general, they would tell you, well, it's great to not be ignorant and think of your own culture. And yeah, right. Sure, that's fine. But we know there's always an agenda. Like these days, the shows just aren't there for the sake of having a humor show or a drama show. They throw in advertising. They throw in the Sodom agenda. They throw in whatever it is, right? So they'll try to, like I was telling you, like Black Lightning. I was trying to watch Black Lightning.
I had to turn it on.
And I had to stop, like, when the daughter was like, I tell you, there was two things that just, like, I was like, I have no interest in, like, watch. Because it's not like it stays in the background. They make sure that it's part of the show.
Prominent.
And his older daughter is a lesbian in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her going through her dating thing and flirting. And, you know, it's, like, part of it, right? And I was like, all right, maybe I'll stomach that. That's the world we live in. I want to give this a chance. But then when the younger daughter, they had this liberal thing where they were telling the younger daughter, and I mentioned it on the show, I think, where they were talking about it was okay for her to have sex when she was ready. They just had to tell the parents. So they had like a series of episodes where she's like talking to them, and she's like, hey, so I think this is the guy, you know, so-and-so. Brad's the one that I think I want to have sex with. So, like, you know, can you get me some condoms or whatever? And I'm like,
that's disgusting. Oh, just the mere thought of it, man, it's like so disrespectful. Like, where's the divide between the parents? You know what?
It's not like some real Edom-ish.
Yeah. Cap, when he got shot, that was actually like the first time I was happy that a black person got shot on the show. I'm sorry. When they sniped him, I don't know. I just felt so relieved that happened. I was like,
That's when his back was jacked up?
Yeah.
Because he got shot from behind?
Yeah, I was actually like, okay, she can't have sex.
Hey, I got to tell you, I haven't watched it past season one. I mean, you know, apparently they say it's pretty good or whatever, but I was just so turned off by them trying to factor that into the show. Because, yo, not even the Flash rolls like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's an Edomite show. So that's why it pissed me off. Because on the one black superhero show we get,
right,
where they emphasize our people, they pushing all this other agenda.
Right.
But I don't see that on Arrow. I don't see that on The Flash. I don't see it on any of the other shows that I may happen to watch that are comic book related.
Right.
Where that becomes a major part of the narrative.
Black Lightning.
But where is the stronghold against that? That's why. Because the our communities, the so-called black and Hispanic communities, are the most prominent ones that are still against that for the most part. You know what I mean?
Sister made a good point here. She said another hot item is Sisters with Esau. Yeah, so they'll throw that in there.
Oh, I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that a lot, man.
They'll throw that in the mix.
I'm seeing that a lot. And they're starting to throw Jake Brothers with Esau. I'm starting to see that too.
This is why we're going over this. They're socializing you. You know, I think Nathan used to say years ago when they would show those movies where everybody fights back against the alien invaders. Right. And he said what they're doing is they're trying to, like, desensitize you to when Christ and all the angels return. So that let's band behind it and let's do that, right?
They're the enemies.
But so that's fast forward to whenever the end is, right? But let's talk about day to day. And they're pushing this stuff on you and they're trying to normalize it. And remember what we read here in the beginning part? It says, television and increasingly the internet are critical forces in the socialization of children. They're critical. So they're throwing this stuff in their shows, this interracial stuff, this homosexual stuff, just everything that's against the Bible and God's way,
mm-hmm,
to start to socialize them to those norms. Hey, speaking of that, I just saw today, so I don't know how true it is, someone put up a picture in one of the groups. Dwayne Wade had a male white surfer dude nanny
mm-hmm,
for his boys for 10 years. So now it all starts to come full circle and makes you make sense. First of all, he's a male nanny.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's not a profession that, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I wanted to be a Marine, a cop, and a baseball player. It never threw in my mind that I wanted to be a nanny.
Yeah.
And if my kids better never come with me with that crap.
Hey,
yeah.
So apparently this man, so
who wants to be a nanny?
Now, you know, him and his wife were real busy during their kids' formative years, right? Their careers and everything.
They were Hollywood the kids.
Right. So who were they spending that time with?
They were Hollywood
the kids. The male nanny.
Bro, it makes so much sense now. Hey, and I don't know. I'm not even going to say it. I saw the male nanny and I saw pictures of Dwayne and the boys and the male nanny, and I didn't see Gabriel Union anywhere.
Not once.
Take that and run with it how you want. I'm just not going to say
like
it.
If you feel me
when I'm reading between the lines, what I'm trying to get at?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I'm tracking.
And then, couple that with his short shorts that he was wearing in that picture the other day we saw.
I will not put a pass of the reading between the lines what you're saying, because when you have a lot of money like that, right, you got a lot of time on your hands because you're not really tired.
Right.
You're not working 60, 70 hours of labor. You know, you're having fun, you're doing your training, you're staying fit is what you're doing, right? Let's just take an athlete, for example. You got a lot of idle time on your hands and a lot of money. That's why Hollywood is the way it is, man. A lot of those people, man, that never did drugs in their life, they're bored.
Right.
That's why the scripture says, right, there's a saying in the world which is based on the scripture, idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. When you're not busy with stuff, okay, you're going to go ahead and do stuff. One last point. They realize, okay, that lust is more embracing than discipline. So they're going to put more lust. People don't like to be told what it's in our natural nature
to want to do,
not to be told what to do. So they found the fact that, you know what? People have more love for lust than they do for discipline.
And I'm going to back that up with the scriptures. Give me Wisdom of Solomon 4:12. That's exactly what's going on. In this verse, it calls that lust, that sin, naughtiness. And it's bewitching is what the Bible says. That's exactly what it is, right?
Exactly.
So let's get this real quick.
This is the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 12. For the bewitching of naughtiness doth obscure things that are honest.
That's exactly what Cap was just saying. That's what makes it more alluring, right? That's going to be more interesting than watching, this is how you should behave, this is how you live righteously, right? And it's a bewitching, right? The mass media, the technology, and what they're pushing through it, the socialization, that's socialization for you in a nutshell, right? That, you know, showing you the interracial relationships, right? Showing you the homosexuality and the transgenderism and all of that. That is socialization. And it says the bewitching of naughtiness, it obscures the things that are honest. This is why in Hebrews 13:9, Paul said, your mind should be established in grace. The heart should be established in grace. If it's established in grace, the bewitching of naughtiness will not obscure those things that are honest.
Right.
Grace teaches you honest things. Come on.
Mm-hmm. And the wandering of concupiscences does undermine the simple mind.
The wandering of concupiscence, that deep sexual immoral lust, all right, it says it doth undermines the simple mind.
Mm-hmm. A simple
so mind. If your mind, a simple mind, simply without getting too deep into it, based on scriptures we brought out today, is a mind that is not established in grace.
You're right, a child. Right. It's right, a mind right. of a child,
even though
you're an adult.
It's a mind that is not established in grace. Like you said, mm-hmm. people have not fully partaken of the grace because they not allow grace to teach them.
Right.
So it says it's a bewitching. It is a witchcraft that pulls you away from proper understanding. I'm glad you made that point.
Right.
I've been wanting to bring the scripture, and I almost forgot about
it. And to show you, Cap, because when we were growing up, okay, shows were wholesome. Mm-hmm. What I mean by wholesome?
Like
okay,
family values.
At the end of the thing, let's take whether it was Brady Bunch, A Portrait of Eddie's Father for you older folks. It was always a lesson, Davy and Goliath, the puppets. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The good one.
Yeah, the good one. We had a friend that defiled the hell out of David and Goliath. Do y'all remember David and Goliath?
Yeah.
Right. They always had an issue.
Yeah.
And he would like a sin, what would be sin.
Yeah.
And you know, it would get at the end. Right. And then you hear the song. right. There was.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was always something. There was a lesson learned.
Right.
None of these shows that I see, and I monitor as much as I can what my kids are watching. Mm-hmm. I don't see stuff like that. So I got to constantly tell my kids, you know, either turn it off or don't be doing what those kids are doing.
Right.
And you could do what those kids are doing on those shows.
Right.
Okay. Even if it's because it's very simple. You know what I'm saying? Man, you know that you can't get away with that stuff in this house or with the Most High first and foremost. So the point I'm making is that wandering over here, okay, where it says a wandering of concupiscence, that's your cable TV with thousand something channels.
Right.
That's your social networks. That's your TikTok. That's all your outlets
right.
that your kids have access to. Okay, that's they're wandering. That's where the idle mind comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. Even adults wandering is
even adults?
Entertaining.
Sure.
If you remember, the scripture says evil communication corrupts manners. So everything you do, it's polluting you anyway. And how you cleanse yourself is with these scriptures, right? So we're in a constant state of filth. Our mind is inundated.
Constant.
It's the social force. It's the flood of constant filth coming at us. So the wandering is entertaining it.
Mm-hmm. Cap, consciously and subconsciously, we're in that state of flood.
Yes.
And
yes.
subconsciously.
Yes, subconsciously
that's
as
the
well.
Worst one.
Subtly, yes. And that's why it tells you, it says the simple mind, because everybody's going to be affected by it, but it says it'll undermine the simple mind. And those are the people that really struggle to take hold of their
minds. Right.
And really have conviction and devotion how they're living their lives in this present world.
If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. They have no foundation that they stand on.
scripture tells you that you have to walk circumspect in this walk. Reads carefully. Why? Because the Most High understood and foresaw all of this. Well, he understood that naughtiness is bewitching.
Remember before when you had brought out to the men, you asked them to break down what it means to store your stuff in either in heaven or on earth?
Yes.
That's why they wrestle back and forth and not having that foundation, because they have so much flood coming at them.
Yeah.
That they confuse being a simple man. They're storing things up in heaven, but they're...
We got roughly 5 minutes left. I want to read the rest of this here. No, the mass media is going to be, like I said, it'll be at least two shows, maybe more. I mean, depending on what y'all bring to the table, too. If there's something relevant to this subtopic of the agents of civilization, bring it out. So it says, not only do children in the United States learn about life in faraway lands, but inner city children learn about the lives of farm children and vice versa. The same thing happens in other countries. So this is what I'm telling you. It's the same thing. And the mass media is the biggest way to expose them to all of that, right? And technology. It says sociologists and other social scientists have begun to consider the impact of technology on socialization. They are particularly interested in the online friendship networks. I read between the lines when I say that, right? Because you would think your common lay sociologist out of curiosity is particularly interested. But I always think about the Crafty Council and how the Crafty Council is an ever-evolving, ever-devising thing.
Yep.
And so when I says that it's particularly interesting to them, remember how they had the guy come in and do the threat assessment interview with Bishop Kestenbaum?
Yeah.
Right? They're always probing, right? They do a deep, diligent search. The scripture tells you they do a diligent search. Because they are particularly interested in online friendship networks, Facebook. Or does it represent a new form of social interaction? It talks about the boxes where if we have time to reference it. If not, no, we're going to save it for when we actually go over the social media aspect. It's not just in industrial nations, but in Africa and other developing areas, people have been socialized into relying on new communications technologies. They have been socialized to rely on that. So not even in just, you know, what they call industrial nations, but even in less developed nations. So not long ago, if Zahid Iyombe wanted to talk to his mother, he had to make an 8-day trip from the capital city of Kanada up the Congo River by boat to a rural town where he was born. Now both he and his mother have access to a cell phone, and they send text messages to each other daily. Iyombe and his mother are not typical. Although cell phones aren't cheap, 1.4 billion owners in developing countries have come to consider them a necessity. Today, there are more cell phones in developing nations than industrial nations. The first time in history that developing nations have outpaced the developed world in the adoption of a telecommunications technology. If that's not a flood,
right.
I don't know what is.
Hey, and we experienced that. It wasn't 8 days, but it would be 2.5 hours to get to just another borough that we could have drove to.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, nothing had just behind.
Or what about you had to wait until 5 o'clock or 10 o'clock for the other news? Right?
How about this? How about after midnight, the TV went off?
Right.
Yeah. And all so you had was the little lines.
Or you had that thing on there. They played the American anthem.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And then you didn't have no TV, no access to no floods until the next morning.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was talking about mass media and technology. I was watching Hellboy, the one they just recently did, right? It was on. So I wanted to check it out. And there's a part where this evil queen is coming back to life and all this stuff, and she's watching TV. Like, to her, she's buried for 300 years, so she knows what the hell's going on in the world. And she's watching television and watching all the stupid reality shows and everything. I got to go back now and kind of get her back words, but she said something to the effect of, my gosh, look what the world's become. Everything is focused on just pleasure and dumb entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just there, like, just watch. Nothing of value, nothing to bring yourself to educate yourselves properly, right? I mean, that's the simple-minded, right? It reminds me of the Batman with the Riddler when he had that device with the TV made people all dumb and stuff like that, right?
Oh, that's an old,
Hey, that's why they call it the boob tube. It used to be called the boob tube.
You know what it reminds me of? That movie Fast from the Past, because it was a nuclear.
Yeah.
When they thought it was, and when he came up, he was still like in the 40s or whatever it was. He was still back in that time.
Yeah.
He noticed there was TV. It was the technology was crazy. You know,
he said, "You have a computer in the house?"
Yeah. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
You're in the house. Hey, so I mean the effect and the impact of this. So that's gonna set the stage as we move into it more next week with cell phones and Facebook and stuff like that. So that's the power hour for this week, right? And
it was powerful.
The power four works really good. It always leaves a little something on the table for us to come back to maybe.
Right.
So that's the show. We will be on next Saturday. We'll continue on with the same topic, dealing with mass media and technology. All right, with that, we'll be shalom.
Shalom.